Good evening, everybody. I'm very pleased to come back again to have this short retreat with you all. Normally we start our retreat in observing precepts, 8 precepts or 5 precepts and so forth. Probably some of you may be familiar with these precepts, some others may not. So what do you think? Should we observe these precepts? I can see many heads are nodding. So I think that's a very good idea to start the retreat with the precepts. I'll tell you the reason why later on, but for now let us begin with observing 5 precepts to begin with, and then if you like we can add more later on. So say Namo Tassa, folding your palms. Those who know words may recite. Let me recite, you repeat after me. Okay? Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā Vēramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adinnādānā Vēramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu Micchācārā Vēramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā Vēramaṇī Sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya Majjhapamādatthānā वेरमणी सिक्खापदं समादियामि। तिसरणेन सद्धिं पञ्चशीलं धम्मं समादयित्वा साधुकं सुरक्षितं कत्वा अप्रमादेन सम्पादेतव्यं। साधु साधु साधु। शीलेन सुगतिं यन्ति शीलेन भोगसंपदा शीलेन निवृत्तिं यन्ति तस्मा शीलं विशोधये। नाउ आई वांट टू से फ्यू वर्ड्स अबाउट ऑब्जर्विंग द थ्री रेफ्यूजेस एंड टेकिंग द फाइव प्रीसेप्ट्स बिफोर वी स्टार्ट अवर रिट्रीट्स। टेकिंग द रेफ्यूज इन द बुद्ध is to instill confidence, trust in the Buddha, because he is the one who introduced this meditation system called Vipassana meditation. There are two aspects of meditation. One is called Samatha meditation, other is Vipassana meditation. Samatha meditation is meditation, is translated into English as tranquility meditation or concentration meditation. Concentration meditation is the most prevalent meditation. Even before the advent of the Buddha, concentration meditation was in practice. Many saints, sages, yogis, sannyasins practice tranquility meditation. Even Siddhartha Gautama Bodhisattva, before he attained enlightenment, he practiced tranquility meditation from his childhood. It's amazing whenever we think about it. He had never heard of meditation when he started meditation. He was a just little boy, even rather infant, when he started meditation on his own, without any external support, advice, instructions and teaching. He meditated. It is said that when he was a little baby, there was a plowing festival, and this Siddhartha's nurses took him to the festival. Plowing was not just a modern type of plowing, you know, when you plow, nobody is there, only the farmer, the machine, not even a buffalo. But in those days, the king himself took the leadership. No president in the United States would do that. So the king, in order to set an example to people, he took the first plow, and in a very ceremonial way they plowed the land. So these nurses took the little boy to see this festival, and they put the baby under a tree, rose apple tree, and joined the festivities. This little boy, not seeing anybody around, just sat down in cross-legged position and started meditating. So that is what he did even for his attainment of enlightenment. When he left home, went through various things, including self-mortification, and people say Siddhartha Gautama was just practicing self-mortification. That's all we all talk about after he left home, renounced the world, and we always talk about his mortification for 6 years. During these 6 years, while mortifying his flesh, he was meditating. He mortified the body in order to make meditation more meaningful. He thought if he did such and such, his meditation would be more successful. He tried that and meditated. And finally he decided to mortify the body, eating only one grain of rice a day. Those days one grain of rice was not as big as a football. It was as small as it is today. One drop of water he drank and meditated. What else did he do the rest of the time? Did not sleep. He meditated. He did not sleep sometimes whole night meditating. He did not sleep daytime. All time he meditated. So he was meditating all the time. He was meditating, practicing tranquility meditation. Then he met two teachers. They also taught him how to practice tranquility meditation. Finally he gave up. Then he thought, my first teacher taught me meditation up to the attainment of the third level of immaterial attainment, and my teachers have not attained enlightenment. My second teacher taught me how to attain the last stage of immaterial attainment. My teacher has not attained enlightenment, neither have I. What is the problem? Then he found the missing link. And that missing link was mindfulness meditation. He started practicing mindfulness. That's the second aspect of meditation. So, as soon as he combined tranquility meditation with mindfulness meditation, he found his mind became very clear. He had vision. Vision is not just like a dream. He saw in his mind how these two, when combined, he could attain liberation. And therefore, what we are practicing is this combined system. Tranquility meditation and insight meditation. The difference between these two, tranquility meditation shows us a way to focus the mind only on one object and attain stages of higher level of concentration known as jhanas. First, second, third, fourth, and then immaterial, 1, 2, 3, 4 immaterial, 8 jhanas, 8 attainments of higher level of concentration. But that alone is not enough, because even if one attains the highest level of concentration, that would not guarantee that he would attain liberation, and he would not lose it, he would not be reborn in a lower plane of existence. There is no guarantee. Because when we practice tranquility meditation, we would overcome some superficial level of certain defilements, and underneath those superficial defilements there are layers and layers of deeply rooted defilements. Until they are overcome and destroyed and eliminated, one cannot totally liberate oneself from these psychic irritants. And therefore the second method, or even the more important method, is called Vipassana meditation, insight meditation. And these are the two types of meditation we are practicing. So I would, since there is no particular theme for this retreat, I would give some talks on these two systems, and also give some instructions on how to practice. And so we take refuge in the Buddha for us to gain this confidence, because it has a history, and Buddha is the one who has attained it, perfected it, and introduced to us. So it came down to us through generation after generation of yogis. There are many more things to say about the reason why we take refuge in the Buddha. Secondly, we take refuge in the Dhamma, his teaching, which includes this meditation as well, because it is by following this teaching the Buddha himself attained enlightenment. He, his guide, his teacher, his instructor was the Dhamma itself that he taught us, and therefore he put the Dhamma even above himself. Although we in the hierarchy of priority listing we put the Dhamma as number two, but Dhamma should be higher even than the Buddha. What after him he passed away, what exists is the Dhamma. What he followed to attain enlightenment is the Dhamma, which is permanent, eternal, unchangeable, everlasting truth. The truth stands above everything else, even above the Buddha. And the Dhamma therefore is the truth that we are following. Then we take the refuge in the Sangha, the holy community of the Buddha, who followed the same path as the Buddha did and attained the same state of enlightenment. And therefore we trust them, we build up our confidence in them, take refuge in them. That is actually very basic essence of taking the refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Then we observe the precept to abstain from killing, abstain from stealing, abstain from abusing our senses, abstaining from lying, abstaining from taking intoxicants as a principle to begin our meditation. With these preparatory instructions or suggestions, we also want to start the retreat with reciting this loving friendliness meditation. You have the papers in front of you, and then let us recite these sentences. When we read them, we don't read like reading a newspaper or novel or just reading like a mantra. We must read this with full, complete understanding and feeling of what we recite. That is how this become effective. So let us try to recite, and then we meditate. Maybe after we meditate at least 45 minutes or 1 hour, and then we open the floor for you to ask questions this evening. Okay? You have any question now? Anything? Any clarification? No? Okay, so let us start with the recital. May all beings be happy and secure. May all beings have happy minds, whatever living beings there may be, without exception, weak or strong, long, large, medium, short, subtle or gross, visible or invisible, living near or far, born or coming to birth. May all beings have happy minds. Let no one deceive another, nor despise anyone anywhere. Neither from anger nor ill will should anyone wish harm another. As a mother who risks her own life to protect her only child, even so towards all living beings, one should cultivate a boundless heart. One should cultivate for all the world a heart of boundless loving friendliness, above, below and all around, unobstructed, without hate or resentment, whether standing, walking, sitting, lying down or in awake. One should develop this mindfulness. This is called divinely dwelling here, not falling into erroneous views, virtuous and endowed with vision. Removing desires for sensual pleasures, one comes never again to birth in the womb. We start our meditation with these beautiful thoughts in mind. At this time, this is the time for you to adjust your posture. Make it straight, upright and relaxed. Especially the upper part of the body should be very straight. And put your hands on your lap, right hand on the left, crossing thumbs each other, and close your eyes and start focusing mind on the breath. These are very simple things that every time we meditate, these are the things perhaps you have heard from every meditation teacher. At the same time, as we keep focusing mind on the breathing, since things around us are very conducive to the practice, we feel relatively comfortable, and then with this very comfortable feeling and with these thoughts of friendliness in mind, we begin the practice. We recite these metta recitals in order to prepare our mental state for this practice. When we start with metta, loving friendliness, we feel very honestly, if we recite these words, we feel additionally calm and peaceful. We feel everyone sitting in this hall is our friend. We are sitting amidst of our friends. They all are our friends. When we sit with friends, among friends, we feel secure, safe, and comfortable. We feel that each and every one of us supports each other to make our practice successful. We don't try to compare our practice with another, nor do we think about other person's practice. We all practice together as friends. This feeling generates very friendly vibration, and each of us share this friendly vibration, and so we feel that we are united in our practice. We breathe together and we breathe to the rhythm of expanding and contracting, rising and falling. These are repetitive. These are the things that repeat over and over again. And so we focus the mind on this repetition of rising and falling, inhaling and exhaling, exclusively, without thinking of anything that we had done before we came here, without thinking of anything that we are going to do after this sitting, assuming that this is the only moment we have. In fact, what we experience this very moment is always fresh moment. It always goes passing us, passing, going to the past, and always new experiences, new moments are arising. So we have to keep our mind focused on the present moment. This sometimes is called keeping mind in front. Literally, in front means before our face, our nose and eyes, but this is not front in a geographical space. This is not a spatial front, but this is a temporal front. That means in terms of time, we keep the mind in the present moment. In front means, Pali word parimukhang, means keeping the mind in front, meaning in the present moment. Present moment is an extremely, extremely important moment, because everything is happening now. We feel something, we hear something, we thought arises, sensation arises, consciousness arises, so we pay attention to them as they arise. In our practice of mindfulness or vipassana, in order to make vipassana meaningful, we must have anupassana. That is why in Pali we say kaya anupassana, vedana anupassana, chitta anupassana and dhamma anupassana. Now vipassana means seeing in a very special way things exactly as they are. Seeing things exactly as they are in a very special way is the meaning of the word vipassana. Seeing things in a special way means not an ordinary way we see things. Ordinarily, especially when we are not mindful, we think things are pleasant, beautiful, permanent. But when we pay attention, they are not so-called pleasant, so-called beautiful, but they are just they are, neither beautiful nor ugly. Beautifulness or ugliness is our emotional reactions. Without such emotional reactions, we pay attention. When we have emotional reactions, as we experience things changing, we end up in disappointment because something that we hold on to thinking that it is beautiful, when it changes and passes away, we end up in disappointment. If we do not think that something is pleasant and do not try to hold on to it, when it passes away, we will not be disappointed because we see it passing away, disappearing. Disappearing is happening in the present moment. So we become aware or pay attention to experiences passing away now. And this is a very special way of seeing. This is called sometimes, the Buddha called it going against the grain, against the current, swimming upstream. Swimming upstream doesn't mean that we are working against what is happening in the world out there, against the crimes, violence, economy and politics and so forth. Swimming upstream means swimming against our own accepted habitual mental states. We like some unwholesome habitual mental states, and when we try to practice mindfulness, we have to go against such unwholesome habitual mental states. It means of going against the current. Then we will talk more about this reality later on. Anupassana means becoming aware of something as it is happening. Anu means as, like when somebody goes, we go along with that. That's called anugacchana. Gacchanto anugacchati. When somebody goes, we go along with that person, together with that person, simultaneously. When somebody does something, we do the same thing. That is called anukarana. Anu means happening or doing something simultaneously along with something else. So, whenever something we experience, that very moment, our awareness also must be there. We must be alert. We must keep paying attention to it as it is happening. For instance, when we breathe in, as the breath starts entering our lungs through our nostrils, the mind should be there noticing the breath touching the nostrils and entering the lungs through the breathing air passages. As breath comes out of our lungs through the nostrils, the mind also should follow that breath. The nostrils are like gates. Mindfulness is like gatekeeper. Normally, gatekeeper's job is to notice who enters and who exits. Similarly, the mind becomes aware of the breath touching the nostrils and entering the lungs through the breathing apparatus, and noticing the breath coming out through the nostrils. Right there, we keep the mind focused. And it should be done as the breath is entering and exiting. So this is called anupassana, seeing it as it is happening along with it simultaneously. When feeling arises, the very moment feeling starts arising, mind notices it, feels it, and keeps paying attention to that feeling. And if the feeling happens to be pleasant, mind becomes aware of this pleasantness without becoming attached to it. When the feeling is unpleasant, mind becomes aware of that unpleasantness of the feeling without trying to reject it. When neutral feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling arises, mind becomes aware of it without getting any confusion. So, becoming aware of something as it is happening, without adding anything to it, subtracting anything from it, criticizing, analyzing, verbalizing, conceptualizing, just become aware of it as it is happening. Then insight begins to grow. Whenever we see things as they are, what we really see is that they are constantly changing. This is what we call impermanence. Impermanence is taking place all the time. Our breath is impermanent. Feeling arising of the breath, with the breath, is impermanent. Our awareness of the breath and the feeling is impermanent. Our attention or our thought of the breath, feelings, awareness also is impermanent. Our consciousness is impermanent. Now, impermanent is taking place so quickly, things change so quickly, that only our mind without words and concepts can notice it. The moment we try to use words, the mind will latch onto the words but would not be able to see impermanence exactly as it is. So, there are countless things happening to us. We can become aware of them as they happen, and mind can notice and register the nature of impermanence of all our experiences. So the mind will not wander here and there. Only when we are unmindful, mind start wandering here and there. As long as remain mindful, paying total undivided attention to our experiences, the mind stays focused on that experience, taking note of impermanence. So friends, this would be our beginning instructions. We will give more suggestions and instructions and hint for your practice as we continue our meditation. Now I would like to stop talking, and you can keep focusing mind on whatever you experience: the breath, feelings, perceptions, sounds, memories, ideas, aches and pains, or whatever you experience, simply become aware of it. Don't try to select, don't try to conceptualize, verbalize, and try to make your mind fully focused on the experience and become aware of the changes or impermanence of your experience. And that way you will be with your experience, whether it is pleasant, unpleasant, ideas, memories, whatever, without adding anything to it or subtracting anything to it. So with these few suggestions, I'd like to stop, and probably we can meditate for 1 hour from now. And then I ring the bell at the end of the hour, and then we start asking questions and discussion. Natti jhanam apanyasa panyanatti ajayato yam hi jhanam ca panyaca sve nibbana santike. There is no concentration without wisdom, no wisdom without concentration. One who has both wisdom and concentration is close to peace and emancipation. 10 minutes break and come back for some discussion.